Greetings, my name is Daniel Smith, and I'll be presenting today isolating PCI devices and how it all starts with System Watch. So the agenda today is we'll hit some acknowledgments, we'll do some understanding System Watch and PCI security, we'll do a review of device protections and hypervisors, cover some of the challenges, and then VFIO's approach. We'll then lay out a foundation provided by Hyatt for Launch, Trench Boot, and HMX, dive into a proposal, and then have an open discussion and Q&A on all of this. So first and foremost, a big thank you to Starlab Software for funding and sponsoring the HyperLaunch development, in particular Adam Frazier and Scott Davis from Starlab. Thank you. So why is hypervisor launch so important? Well, there's a variety of reasons, but fundamentally, system launch is when it is possible to establish the correct version and instantiation of a hypervisor. The basic reasoning for why this is important is that in order to establish the correct and valid version with any degree of confidence, it is critical that the launch process take positive control of the system, bring the hypervisor up, and then allow the hypervisor to transfer that positive control over to the hypervisor. And for the hypervisor to maintain that positive control, it must have strong controls around what is allowed to manipulate memory. And of the components that are of concern is the PCI devices. If you formalize this a bit, we can talk about this in terms of confidentiality, integrity, and availability, and we can always hit that in the discussion. This brings us to the early evolution of PCI security and virtualization. And the early approach was taken via a microkernel, moving drivers out of the hypervisor into VMs and assigning devices to VMs. This drove the model for Xen in terms of how to use IOMMUs, so that what it does is it actually sets up IOMM page tables per domain and then moves devices in and out of those page tables. The evolution of all of this starts with driver domains and then moves into disaggregation. So let's take a look at driver domains. Xen driver domains were introduced in a paper called Safer Hardware Access for Xen. And of particular note in this was three requirements they derived for safe hardware. And these three requirements still apply today. At any point, if any of these requirements are violated, it makes it difficult for the hardware to be considered safe. And the reality of this is that the devil's always in the details, and that hardware itself oftentimes cannot meet the standards set by these requirements. Then we moved into Xen disaggregation. After driver domains were starting to be used, it realized that you could decompose a system either further by moving their functions into dedicated VMs as well. The paper that really formalized this was Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, where they proposed the XOR disaggregation framework. And in particular in XOR, one of the components in there was the PCI back VM, which was a launch time VM that was responsible for configuring the PCI bus and doing device assignment. Clearly they understood and realize that you need to take control of the PCI bus at the very beginning and manage it or set it up, but believed that once it was configured, it was good. Unfortunately, we found that not to be so true. Another piece of work that of particular interest is the work to split DOM 0, the main VM, into a control domain and a hardware domain, and then using a domain builder as the initial domain to construct those. From there, we run into reality. And that, as I was highlighting, is that there are the shortcomings of PCI bus and IOMU implementations. And here's the four biggies, but there's probably not a definitive list of all the challenges that we have with the hardware and what makes it difficult to ensure protection, isolation, and security. And as a result, an evolving ecosystem has sprouted up and that takes advantage of this for various reasons. But then VFIO comes along, and it in particular introduces this concept of PCI grouping. PCI grouping PCI devices isn't specifically the major thing. It's more about the fact that these groups are based around VFIO inspecting the hardware, determining which devices can be isolated and which cannot be isolated, and making the groupings appropriate or according to those determinations. This way, with VFIO, you won't be able to create a situation where two devices can tamper with each other and be in two different VMs, allowing a way for one VM to attack another. And then VFIO evolves and standardizes, and we get mediated devices and scalable mode in the IOMMU to provide finer grain multiplexing of physical devices to allow a physical device to be shared amongst multiple domains in a isolated manner. So with all of that, let's dive into Hyperlaunch, right? So Hyperlaunch itself is a general architecture for flexible environment construction during a launch of a hypervisor. It's greatly influenced by Zor and the hardware domain builder combination. In particular, what it enables is Zor's multi-VM construction at launch with the ability for an ephemeral limited privileged domain builder to be ran as part of the system launch. And what that basically is saying is that as Xen starts up, Xen will be able to construct multiple VMs as needed. A ephemeral domain builder may be able to run during that setup phase to help do any finalization traditionally done by DOM 0 during construction, and then return back to the hypervisor and allow the hypervisor to complete its setup and then transition into running. And so that way, when it transitions into the running state, instead of just starting a single VM, it will actually wind up starting multiple, an arbitrary number of VMs, of which none of them have to be the traditional DOM 0. Another capability that's been developed is Trench Boot. And it was born out of OpenXT, specifically to make DRTM measured launch a general available solution. What's of particular note here is that DRTM capable hardware has the unique property that when a DRTM launch is initiated, all DMA winds up being blocked on the system until the target runtime can take control of the bus and the PCI bus and begin managing where devices are allowed to have access. The third piece that I wanted to touch upon is the hypervisor mediated exchange, in particular the Argo implementation for Xen. What HMX is basically a hypervisor mediated message passing system between VMs, such that there would be no shared memory between the sender and receiver. The hypervisor is the one that carries out the data flow operation. What this basically is provides is the ability to enforce control over information flow and preserve data isolation. Argo itself is based on the V4V protocol, which has been deployed by HP's in their SureClick Enterprise solution for providing virtual devices into their contained environments for SureClick. And Argo itself actually builds on Xen's XSM framework so that we are able to have mandatory access control over our information flows. And it's went so far as even to be proposed as a transport driver for Vert.io to bring Vert.io devices to Xen. So bringing this all together, we talked about, you know, PCI isolation and security within hypervisors, the capabilities of being able to launch and partition systems in a confidential and with integrity during construction, and have availability of isolated and controlled communication paths via HMX. So the three of these solutions will come together to help as a basis for virtualizing PCI. And of particular note is that when you combine these three technologies, you actually wind up with when used along with appropriate hardware and policies, a flexible solution where you can build open source solutions that have the same security properties as the virtualization-based security of Microsoft's Secure Core PC. So if we have all this stuff in Xen already today, or it's coming, or finishing up, what's missing then? Well, as we mentioned earlier, the approach to IOMU management is limited and needs to be replaced with an implementation. And we would like that implementation to be a cross-hypervisor architecture and API, so that way Xen doesn't just have a unique solution and other it can align with other hypervisors as well. One of the things about VFIO is it's a Linux-specific capability, but has very good architectural approaches, and it winds up having the MDEV interface that are being adopted by vendors, and which would also be very desirable to have access to on as a cross-hypervisor solution. So how do we get there? Well, let's take a look at Vert.io for a moment. If we look at Vert.io from a generalized view, it boils down to having two components: transport drivers and device drivers. The transport driver is what handles the low-level movement of data and provides a common API for the drivers to have their data moved back and forth. While device drivers provide the kernel device and communicate with the back-end implementations using a common API that goes over the transport driver. So it's believed we could do the same Vert.io-like architecture for virtualized PCI for hypervisors. This would then, and do it in a means that would be a cross-hypervisor architecture, so that we can have good system security while meeting advanced use cases such as device pass-through and mediated devices. So, if we take a look at PCI, in particular, Thunderclap paper did a really good job of diving into this. You'll notice that the majority of the time in the paper, the authors focused on the temporal and spatial vulnerabilities of DMA. As they were doing so, they reviewed a variety of DMA solutions, looking at each one and finding that they all have their pros and cons. Well, one solution in particular we'd like to call upon is a solution from the paper True IOMU Protection from DMA Attacks, which the solution they have in there, IOMU Shadow Buffer, works very similar to how Argo works. And of particular note is that the solution provided both the temporal and provided mitigations for both the temporal and spatial vulnerabilities being evaluated in the paper. The downside is that there was concern over the performance costs. But the reality is that different use cases will have different requirements. So if instead, if a solution only picked one method to handle DMA, then it would only get one set of security properties and would force every solution to compromise, either for their compromise on their security objectives when they would prefer to compromise on performance, or vice versa. So contrasting that with VirtIO, if you consider DMA being a transport for PCI, then like VirtIO transports, we could standardize a set of DMA mechanisms that function with a common API. So this brings us to the VDMA engine concept, and we'll look at it from the context of Xen. So within a hypervisor, if you look at the access of memory within a VM, independent of the VM's control, by another VM or the hypervisor, that is by definition DMA. So if we look at it from that perspective at Xen, then we'll quickly see that Xen actually has multiple DMA mechanisms present in it. And each of these mechanisms have a different methodology in which they move the data and a different interface for interacting with them. So if we work from the concept that that all of these are just DMA mechanisms, then it becomes possible that we can map all of their methodologies onto a common set of DMA operations. And then we can use this list of mappings and the API to produce a standard called VDMA. So what would that look like? So let's look at KVM and VFIO instantiation on KVM using a VDMA engine. So what you have is you have the control plane. The control plane talks to the VDMA engine to set up a VDMA channel. And that VDMA channel is bound to a mechanism, in this case an IOMMU shadow buffer. It then notifies the VFIO driver to set up a virtual device within an IOMMU group and bind that to that VDMA channel. So this is creating this binding to the back end. Once that virtual device has been set up, the control plane can then set up a mapping from this VDMA channel into the guest VM, thus resulting in what appears to be a PCI device being passed through to the guest VM, and the DMA with that device is being handled by the VDMA engine, in particular the IOMMU shadow buffer mechanism, to move the data from the physical device to the virtual representation inside the guest VM. So what would be a solution on Xen? Well, in the past, I've presented an architecture I called HAT, and in HAT, we had this concept of a PCI domain, and the PCI domain was responsible for managing the PCI's devices for a guest. And so what this would look like is a similar flow, where the control plane asks for a VDMA channel to be created and bound to, in this case, a memory shadow buffer. That once that's been set up, that channel is then passed to the VIOMMU to then create an instantiation VIOMMU VM, so it can then create an instantiation of a guest VIOMMU and bind that to the VDMA channel. Once that's been bound, the control plane can then create a mapping from that VDMA channel to the guest, resulting in what appears to be an IOMMU within the guest. And then any DMA happening on that IOMMU will move to back and forth through the VDMA engine to the guest VIOMMU. So if we move back, with that understanding, if we move back to the VirtIO analogy for a moment, and we consider VDMA to be the transport, then the VFIO and MDEV are VirtIO devices. So with this kind of thinking, what we were calling for is to create a new generalized VFIO standard, or it can be renamed, not just using this as a reference here, that winds up formalizing virtual devices, IOMMU groups, and VDMA structures, and all the operations that would be done on these entities, to provide a common standard that any hypervisor could implement, enabling vendors to easily move and port things like their MDEV devices to different hypervisors with minimal work. And so with that, I open the floor for discussions and any Q&A. Thank you. So at that point, I hope everybody found that informative. Are there any questions? All right, thank you. Yes, hopefully we can meet in person next year. Obviously, if there's anybody interested in talking about this topic further offline, I believe my contact info was on the slide. If not, you can find me in the Trench Boot at trenchboot.org.